Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
There's a fine line between mothering and smothering.
My mommy makes me eat my vegetables.
I could tell my mom anything.
What can I do? I can't change my family.
My mom always made our house our own.
Don't tell me my nagging's paid off.
You know what? I look forward to being a mom.
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. Roger Marsh here, and today on the program, a great conversation, one of our classics, getting closer to Christmas, and bringing you a couple of classic programs here this week. Susan Bramall and Terry Gunlock, both great friends of the Ministry of Homeward. Susan's husband, Randy, has been a chairman of the board and a great fundraiser for Homeward for years and years and years. But they have a fascinating story about friendship and fun and also fellowship and why that's a big role in that. And just during the next half hour right here, we're going to hear about why every mom needs a best friend. I want to thank you for being a friend of the Ministry of Homeward. And if there's a way you can partner with us financially here at the end of the year, I'll have information on how you can do so at the end of the program. And now, here's Jim.
I've invited Susan and Terry to join us here in the studio to talk about their friendship and why every mom needs a best friend. And we are most honored to have you with us today. Welcome.
Thank you.
Susan, let's start with you. Okay. Tell us about how you met Terry.
I met Terry. We had just started attending a church in Newport Beach. And through that, I was asked to introduce her at what was called Christian Leadership Week. People in the community, in different homes, sharing about their lives and what the Lord has meant in their lives. But we had never met. And most people know each other well if you're going to introduce someone who's speaking. And so we kept trying to connect. And I kept calling her and getting messages, and she was never there. And I thought, well, is it something I said? I don't even know this person. And she was off on a ski trip, which was the first, should have been my first clue
that
we were going to be good friends and that she was doing active, fun things. So we met literally 10 minutes before I introduced her. Uh-huh. And I had to give this sort of history of her life. And the funny thing was, there were a lot of her friends sitting there and knew more than I did about her.
Right.
But that was really funny.
And so you met that way. Terry, what was life like for you when you were up in front of this group talking about Christian leadership at your Christian Leadership Week thing?
Well, I was at a stage where I had two young boys, and that was my favorite job in the world. But I also felt at that time I always wanted a ministry apart from my home and good friends. And so I was teaching a neighborhood Bible study that just started with 10 women, and it grew to 70 quickly. The Lord was really at work. And we also then had the husbands interested in coming to couples Bible studies. And that particular year, we had taken off the year and just decided to invite new people from church to dinners. And after I met Susan at the Christian Leadership Week, we invited them to come to a potluck, and that started the friendship.
Wow. And then wasn't there a vacation pretty quick, you know, talking about skiing? Didn't you guys go on a ski vacation too?
I think our very first trip was a camping trip
to Virginia Lakes,
where the Bramalls had gone for years and took us. Yeah. And that's where we really bonded, because Susan always looks beautiful, but I found out she could look messy too and be a real camper.
Susan? I can't even picture Susan camping.
She got dirty and was a great camper.
Yeah.
Well, we both have two sons, and they're sort of stair-stepped in ages. Right. And that time was just awesome to see the boys playing and right in their element. And on all the subsequent vacations that we've had, it's been Terry and me and all these male types. And they would bring their friends. And it's just been really fun. We've enjoyed it. We've played with our kids when they were young. And one of the things that we were talking about just coming here is when you play with them when they're young, they want to play with you when they get older, and they'll stick around for vacations. And that's been a real blessing. And they expect you to do what they're doing.
What you're saying is, even the guys, when they're doing guy things, did they want you women to join them with the guy stuff?
Like skiing and camping.
Yeah.
Well, especially skiing, because when we started when we were young and we got to our 50s, and felt like, what was wrong with us? We weren't keeping up with our 20-year-old boys. But they thought we could.
And they would say, come on, you guys, you're slow.
Yeah.
You can do it.
Yeah.
We know you can.
Well, through these years, you guys bonded as friends. And what we really are realizing more and more that every mom needs good friends. A lot of moms out there are kind of lonely. I mean, what did you do besides, you know, go on these vacations to really bond together as friends?
Susan came into our neighborhood after we had met, and she came right into our women's Bible study, and we began to work together in Bible studies. That started it. And exercise, everyone wants to look good and be in shape, and we found out if you exercise together. And so we began biking with a group of four women
18 years ago
and have done that ever since. And that's been one of the greatest ways, because there you're totally yourself. You don't look fancy. You're riding side by side, and lots of things came out. In fact, we've told our husbands it's really cheap therapy because... And that,
just get a bike, and it's cheaper than therapy.
Yes. But you can just run. I mean, that's something can do.
But being outside, it's just refreshing, doing something that's good for you. And over the years, I think we are probably the oldest ones out there now, but we've incorporated new people all the time. And as we have just cared for one another and enjoyed that part of life, we've incorporated new friends and they have grown as well, and we have had a chance to just really live life together. And you get all kinds of discussions on the bike, and we talk about all kinds of things at coffee afterwards, and it's just a blessing.
Do you think it's easier for women to talk more openly about their issues than men?
No question.
Yeah.
No question.
You know, it's interesting, because when I was going to Princeton years ago, we were a couples Bible study, and then the women met, and the men were all in graduate school, and so we talked about theology, and we talked about politics and baseball and stuff like that. And the women would share their lives and their problems with us. And then they'd come back together. We'd come into the couples thing kind of sheepish, because the men had been not sharing about intimate issues and the women had. Well, the women were really getting much closer than the men. Mm-hmm. And finally, I think it was the women who kind of caused us in the couples group to sort of open up, because, you know, transparent. In terms of your relationship, talk about transparency for a minute. Did it evolve? I mean, there's probably somebody out there who's going, you know, I'd love to be transparent with somebody. I don't even know who to talk to, and I don't want to look bad.
It takes time to build trust in the person, and it literally is time spent, it is learning to build that trust. I think it also has to do with our background and how we were raised and how we were perceived. And there was a time, 3 years ago, maybe?
I think partly it's your personality. I've always been pretty much what you see is what you get, and I assume everyone else was. And so I had to learn that people are good actors and actresses, and I needed to ask good questions. And with Susan, we were so close, and yet I would find out after the fact a hard time she had gone through. And so in a really neat way, because she was so not sensitive or not oversensitive, I shared with her, I said, Susan, it would be so helpful if you would tell me when you're going through that, and then I could minister to you, and then I would feel freer to share with you, because I just sort of blab things out. And she was so sweet and said, oh, do I do that? She didn't really realize it, and really worked on sharing. And so now we can just say to each other, you know what, I'm having a bad day. And sometimes we don't have to say more than that, but that's what I encourage women to do, to be honest, because people always identify more with our weaknesses than our strengths, but we're afraid they won't.
Isn't that interesting? Even when we are talking about faith, when we're sharing about our faith, if we share some of our weaknesses, people aren't turned off by that. They're actually drawn toward it, saying, my goodness, here's somebody who can share weaknesses and yet really does want to keep growing in their faith. How has this relationship of yours affected your relationship with your spouses?
Well, I think having a friend like Terry, who loves me for who I am and is willing to just let me call her and say, I'm having a bad day, I need prayer, or to say, I don't know what's wrong. Pray for me. And maybe she even sees something because she knows me so well. Having someone like that makes me a better wife, and it makes me a better mom, and it makes me a better servant, whatever I'm doing. It builds me up in a different way. Our husbands cannot be everything to us. And I think that's a misconception so many women have, and I did. It's like, well, he should know everything without me telling him. And if he really loved me, he would figure it out. And that's so wrong.
Boy, that's powerful insight. It's very, very encouraging to hear. And if you're just joining us, you're listening to a special edition of the Homeward Broadcast, one of our archives, a Christmas classic, if you will, featuring Jim's conversation with Susan Bramble and Terry Grunlock. And we're talking about why every mom needs a best friend. And we'll have more of this conversation as we continue. I want to remind you, as we were talking about the best friend factor here, Susan and Terry are great friends of each other, of course, but also of the Ministry of Homeward. And we want to thank you for being such a great friend of the Ministry of Homeward as well, too. Really appreciate your your prayers and financial support. Of course, Homeward is a part of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University. But in terms of this program and the seminars and the articles and tip sheets, whatever you find online, those are all the result of the faithful financial support of listeners and supporters like you. You can give a gift online through our website, which is absolutely secure at homeward.com, or you can write to us at Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, the zip code 92693. And keep it right here. There's more to come.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
Al? Al? Hi.
Oh, hi, Bill. How are Debbie and the girls?
Oh, they're just fine. Say, I've been wondering if I could ask you something.
Sure, Bill. What's on your mind?
Well, you know, I'm not exactly sure how to ask you this, but, well, you know how deeply I respect your marriage and the way you've raised your kids and all.
God's been very good to Margaret and me.
He sure has. So I was wondering if I could, you know, spend some time with you on a regular basis, sort of pick your brain a little bit.
Well, I'm not sure there's much left to pick, but let's plan on that, Bill. I'd be honored.
Each of us needs at least one mentor. I mean, someone you can follow as an example when it comes to, say, parenting decisions. We need mentors in parenting just like we do in the business world. I can't begin to tell you how important it has been in my own life to have the input of a mature, wise, experienced other parent. For a free copy of my brand new tip sheet called How to Find a Mentor and Then Become One, go to homeward.com. Important it is to really have a good friend so that actually it will help your relationship with your spouse. I see this even in terms of my life. If I can talk with some of the guys about certain issues, then it's not that I don't want to burden Kathy, but they understand certain issues as a guy that Kathy doesn't as well. And I really think it helps the relationship. And I think there are so many moms out there who feel lonely and they're stuck in situations where they just haven't proactively gone after this friendship. And I know in your talk, when you talk about this, Susan and Terry, you talk about what we call friendship killers. And so, Susan, why don't you help us understand what some of those friendship killers are and maybe something we can do about it?
Well, there's actually three that we talk about: gossip, being oversensitive, and lack of transparency, like we were talking about before. And on the gossip one, there are so many scriptures about gossip, which we could read over and over, and they're piercing because of how God views it.
You think women gossip more than men?
I do. I do. It is an uncanny, not very nice trait about women because you hear something, and especially as Christians, I think that we start, well, here's something for you to pray about, dear. Mm-hmm. And it's a joke because that's not the case, and people like information. Look I mean, the media is full of it.
Sure.
But it is a destroyer of trust.
Well, it puts it on the same line in Romans as murder. Mm-hmm. You know, there's gossip and murder. But what I hear you saying is that gossip is something that breaks friendships as well because it breaks trust probably.
Absolutely. And to have an antidote to that, you need to have lots of forgiveness and then an affirmation. Mm-hmm. And that's what we've really found.
So what you're saying is affirmation and forgiveness really brings a friendship closer. Gossip
pulls it apart. But if you have broken the trust with gossip, and you know, when you hear someone gossiping about somebody else, it's like, I cannot trust my deepest things with that person because if they're talking about someone else, they're probably going to be talking about me too.
Right.
So it puts you on your guard. And we were talking earlier about being willing to share deeply and be transparent. Mm. And that closes it off immediately.
Sure.
So that's, and you know, the other thing about gossip, particularly when your kids are teenagers, If your teenagers have told you something and you're out sharing it with other moms, they will die if they know that you've said that. Mm-hmm. Now we need prayer from each other in support when we're in those years.
Right.
But it is a horrible thing, and that is gossip. When you're talking about someone else who's not there, gossip.
If you're breaking confidentiality in many ways.
Absolutely.
Now, how about in terms of your relationship with you two, talking about the aspect of, not gossip, but sharing deep needs? I mean, sometimes we need a person that we can absolutely trust to share to share something through those years when maybe there was something about your teens or something about your marriage or something else. You know, it really would be sensitive. It's not like you want it on the front page of the paper.
Right.
Would you two talk about that?
Yes, we would.
Susan is so good at not gossiping that I know that she won't gossip about me.
Right.
And so I can trust her. And we've been in, we call it a support group for years. And that's where we feel that is the place that we can share those. And we love each other's families and husbands. So we can talk about maybe some issues we don't enjoy about our husband, and I know Susan will still love my husband. Yeah. And you need a place for that. I do believe that. So I think gossip out there is not great, but there is a place for deep sharing.
You know, I want to get back to the friendship killers in a moment, but you mentioned the word support group. And so here you support each other as good friends, but you're also in a support group. What takes place in that support group? And, you know, how would somebody who really says, that's what I need, but maybe they can't find anybody out there? What's involved in the support group, and how often do you meet, and what takes place in it?
One of the reasons we started support groups, I think as I started talking on friendship, I realized the Bible is very proactive in friendship. It's not passive. It's you pursue friendships. You go after it. That's what God calls us to do. And sometimes you can just start praying that God would give you a group. Mm-hmm. It could be one person, two, four. I think four is a great number. And we have found that, and we just sort of were Bible study dropouts of a particular Bible study, got together, and we would study the Bible just a little, and then mostly just share our hearts and pray for one another. Mm-hmm. And we've done that with four of us for, I don't know, 15 years now.
So in many ways, when you're talking about your relationship and you're talking about the same support group for so many years, you've kind of grown your kids up, and you've kind of done marriage for these years together, so to speak.
We have done life together.
Yeah.
It really has. We have lived our life together. And Terry's son just was married about 6 months ago now. And my two sons are married. I'm a grandma. Don't get me started on that. And we have lived through and prayed through and supported each other through all of these big transitions, through some tumultuous teenage years, through lots of fun elementary school years. We've done a lot of ministry together. There is just support there. It's awesome.
And I think what I hear you saying is part of the reason you can have this kind of support is because you trust each other, and this whole idea of gossip is
it's not an issue.
Yeah, it's not an issue for you. You trust each other. That's very important. Terry, I know there's another one. I think it was mentioned, oversensitivity. Talk about oversensitivity and the friendship killer that can be.
Well, I'm sorry to say, as women, we are oversensitive, and someone can look at us wrong and we feel bad or wonder what's wrong with us. This happens all the time, and so we expect that. But I think a way to combat that is to think the best of the other person, to think that they have your best at heart, not your worst. And we had a cute saying one time from a bike trip. At the end of the day, it was Susan's quote, and it said, have I offended anyone today, and do I owe anyone money? We figured that took care of it.
That pretty much is just a great line for all of us for life.
And also, I think, to think the best of the other's motive, to think maybe they're just having a bad day and they didn't really mean what they said. I think as women, we just need to give a lot of grace and not take things so personally, and also to give space in relationships. I think you get a best friend and then you want them, and a true friend lets the other person have their own life and their own space and their own ministry and is for them. And
you mentioned the word grace. What do you mean? Is grace kind of the anecdote, if you would, to being oversensitive?
I think yes, giving lots of grace to our friends and not demanding things, not demanding rights that we think we should have.
Yeah. You know, what's fascinating is as you're talking about this as mature, wise Christ followers who have been through this for a long, long time, I'm thinking about three Burns girls who, you know, hang out in our house with lots of drama and emotion. And I'm thinking about girls because, you know, here you've grown up just the opposite with me. You have all these boys and then, you know, and I have all girls. In fact, I even have a girl dog. And I'm not bitter, though. But actually, it's been wonderful. But the thing I do notice, and again, I was raised with all boys, that even younger girls are so sensitive and oversensitive. And, you know, somebody says something, and then that group kind of, you know, splits. And so really what you're talking about is something for you all, but it's also something for younger women to understand that this, you know, oversensitivity really is a friendship killer. It's probably the biggest one for maybe teenage kids.
Yes, it is. And I think that's very hard. And that's a struggle women will always have. Mm-hmm. But if they can learn young, to not take things so personally. I don't know how you do that.
No, and in our days of working with high school kids, and we would be on these trips, you could see it happen with the girls. And I don't know what the antidote would be for that, for them, other than just talking about it with them and encouraging them to think twice about that.
Right, you know, and part of it is, I think it is talking about it, having that conversation, and then when they see it, they maybe understand a little better. Mm-hmm. Bringing it up, here's what's going on. Now, you mentioned the third one already, but it's the idea of transparency. And I want to get back to it because, I mean, how transparent do you get? You know, let's say that, you know, there's a fight in the home and, you know, you and your husband, you know, yelled at each other. What I mean, do you then, you know, call each other at times? Or do you have that kind of relationship that you can, and how does your husband feel if he knows that you said, hey, we just got in a big hairy fight and I went and told my best friend. I mean, talk about that for a minute.
Well, let's see. Fortunately, because of our close friendship, and I would include our support group in this, our husbands know that we have these close relationships, and they value that as much as we do, because it's a support to them, really, too. And they know that, as Terry said before, that these friends love him and are for our marriage.
You know, that's a tricky question.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think for me, I go before the Lord first and ask him and see if he can help me deal with it. And even give me wisdom to know who to share it with or not. And sometimes that can just dispel it and I don't need to. But when it keeps on and I'm not able to get over it, then I feel like I can go to my closest friends and say that.
Susan, I wanted you to comment for just a moment on some of your thoughts on how do you do that and still keep your spouse happy.
When you have a best friend that you can completely trust, it's very easy to want to pick up the phone or go see that person and just dump all your stuff, particularly if you've had an issue with your spouse. And I would say for us, we do not do that readily all the time. We give it time, as Terry mentioned before, taking time before the Lord and processing that in our own mind first, because the last thing that we really have ever done is, quote, trash our husband. I mean, and they are mindful of that, and they know how much we love each other and how much our families love one another, and that we always have their best interest at heart. So that's it. I would say it's just, we do it after you're prayerful.
What I hear you say is there, be it, have a check in your spirit. I mean, it's okay at times to say, hey, let me run this by you.
Right.
But don't just every time go to them right away, or in many ways, you're breaking the confidence of your spouse as well. You have to honor your spouse at the same time.
Give time for God to speak to you first, too.
Right. Very, 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 very good. Unfortunately, we're going to have to break it here. But what we're going to do is come back tomorrow. And we're going to talk about how do you build a best friend relationship? How do you do what you guys have done? I mean, you guys are our role models now. And so we want to learn, you know, not only about friendship killers, but how do you build this friendship, a lifelong friendship that really, really makes a difference in terms of your family, in terms of your marriage, and frankly, in terms of your relationship with God. It is great to have you with us. Thanks so much for being
here.
Thank you for having us.
Been a lot of fun to revisit this conversation today here on the Homeward Broadcast. Parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns talking with best friends Susan Bramble and Terry Grunlock. They also happen to be members of our Homeward family as well. And it's just nice to have this conversation because a lot of moms are kind of wandering through life and they're looking for their husbands or ex-husbands to be the support that they thought they needed to have a fulfilling life. And Susan and Terry are telling us, you know, it's a different way. If you missed any part of this program, remember we are always streaming. Audio streams at homeward.com, HOMEWORD.com. We also podcast this daily Monday through Friday edition of the program through iTunes, and there's no subscription cost at all involved in that. Just go to homeward.com, hit the podcast button. It'll take you right to our site on iTunes, and then you can begin that subscription as well. In addition to these free audio streams and podcasts, we also have articles and tip sheets in the articles and media section of our online resource center. And Jim, there's one that's very, very important for parents to talk about the S word with their kids. We're talking about stewardship.
Well, you're right, Roger. I'm very excited about them. I know a lot of families have really been impacted by the challenges in this particular economy.
Yeah.
And you know what? I believe that these changes can lead to a lot of what I would call teachable moments for our kids, for our grandkids, and even for our own lives regarding stewardship and just how important it is. Stewardship is more than just an issue of how you spend your money. It involves how you invest your time, how you care for the most important relationships in your life as well. And that starts with our relationship with God.
Amen.
But it's so key to so many things about our life. And Homeward has created a brand new set of tip sheets. I'm very excited about it. The tip sheets are about money and stewardship, and they're based on a series of well-known Bible stories that should be fairly easy for your kids to understand. But they also include some very practical tips for your whole family. You can start looking at these issues like giving and saving and even investing from more of an eternal perspective. Great new tip sheets.
They certainly are, Jim. And this is a conversation that we as parents need to have with our kids. And Christmas is an excellent time to have that because chances are your kids might be getting some Christmas gifts in the form of money from relatives, and they're going to want to blow it all on all sorts of fun things that aren't going to have any value. This is an opportunity to talk about saving and spending, investing, tithing even. And then we can have these conversations with our kids more comprehensively when you put these tip sheets into practice. Our friends at Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment trust company, that's their day job, as it were. But they're also committed to biblical principles about money. They've helped us create these tip sheets. And so when you go to homeward.com, HOMEWORD.com, hit the articles and media button, and then where the get answers word comes up, the search function, just put Steadfast. STEADFAST. The tip sheets will come up and you can get them right there. And our thanks again to Rod Emery and the great folks at Steadfast for putting these together. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.